Mr. Gharibabadi, thank you very much for joining Press TV's Face to Face. My first question to you. As Iran's former ambassador to The Hague and Iran's former representative to the Organization for the Prohibition of Chemical Weapons, do you think that the international community has been successful in preventing the proliferation of weapons of mass destruction, particularly chemical weapons?
I think that that's a very good question to begin the discussion. And first of all, I have to categorize the weapons of mass destruction in three categories. The first category is biological weapons, the second is chemical weapons, and the third is nuclear weapons. These three categories of weapons are forming the weapons of mass destruction. And each category of weapons of mass destruction has its own international instrument. And also the countries, they have their own international obligations. For example, when it comes to the NPT, Non-Proliferation Treaty, the five permanent members of the Security Council of the United Nations, they have the right to preserve their own nuclear weapons, and the others, they don't have the right to seek to acquire nuclear weapons. And so the obligations of the non-nuclear states is not to seek for nuclear weapons and not to proliferate the nuclear weapons. So the obligation is non-proliferation under the NPT. But for example, when it comes to the chemical weapons, CWC, Chemical Weapons Convention, that's the only disarmament treaty that bans the production, stockpiling, use of chemical weapons, and also asks for destruction of all chemical weapons. So it means that that's a total and sole disarmament treaty, and no member state to the convention has the right to preserve its own chemical weapons. So the obligation is disarmament under this treaty, it's not non-proliferation. So because the existence of chemical weapons is not accepted in accordance with the convention, so all the chemical weapons have to be destroyed. But when it comes, for example, to the biological weapons, the obligation also is totally different. The use of chemical biological weapons, unfortunately, has not been banned under the BWC Biological Weapons Convention. So you see that the obligations of the member states and the undertakings of the member states are different under each category of the weapons of mass destruction and also the international instruments. But having analyzed actually this issue of proliferation of weapons of mass destruction, you see that, for example, the nuclear weapons have been proliferated from five P5 permanent members of the Security Council to other four. In our region, we have Israeli regime actually possesses nuclear weapon. We have India and Pakistan, we have North Korea. So you have seen that, unfortunately, NPT has not been successful to prevent proliferation of nuclear weapons. And when we analyze the Chemical Weapons Convention and the obligations of the member states, in accordance with the convention, all the countries that they possess chemical weapons, they have to destroy all the chemical weapons by 29th April 2012. So the deadline already has been passed. But unfortunately, the United States of America has not destroyed all chemical weapons that it possesses.
And there are those who have not signed the treaty, like Israel.
Yes, also Israel in our region is not a party to none of the weapons of mass destruction treaties that I will make a reference to this issue later on. So you see that the United States has not been in compliance with its obligations under the Chemicals Weapons Convention also. So this is the second. Or when it comes to biological weapons, so the production of biological weapons is very, very easy. So the countries, they can make biological weapons and also to use against other countries. And nobody can make a distinction between these weapons with, for example, pesticides. So that's a very technical issue. And nowadays, you know that the United States has more than 5,000 nuclear warheads, that those are the active nuclear warheads. Indeed, United States of America has more than 10,000 warheads, but 5,000 of them are in operational status. The United Kingdom has more than 250, France has more than 350 nuclear warheads. So we have seen that what has been done to our world by use of nuclear weapons by the United States against Japan. So those weapons have not been qualified, actually, comparing to the current nuclear warheads. I think that it's enough to destroy the whole world to use only 3 to 4 of those nuclear warheads that are possessed by the possessor states.
Let's talk about the Middle East region. In our Middle East region, there is one entity that is technically at war with several countries. It's attacked neighboring countries. That entity is Israel. And Israel has not signed up to any of those weapons of mass destruction treaties. Do you see that as a potential threat to the Middle East peace and security?
I believe that the Israeli regime is a very potential threat, not only to the regional peace and security, but also to the international peace and security and also the stability of the world. Israel is not a party to none of the international disarmament and arms control treaties, none of them. And there are estimations that Israel possess more than 200 nuclear warheads. Israel possess chemical weapons. Israel possess also biological weapons. So possesses all categories of WMD in the region.
You have worked with those experts in The Hague. You have worked with people of power within the OPCW. Why do you think those organizations that are in charge of non-proliferation, that are in charge of inspecting countries that are suspected of having weapons of mass destruction, why is it that those organizations are not trying to find out what's going on in Israel?
You know, that there has been many calls, specifically by the IAEA in Vienna and also OPCW in The Hague, to have inspections from Israeli regime to see that whether it possesses chemical weapons or nuclear weapons. But all these calls have been rejected by Israeli regime. And also, Israeli regime is supported by its allies, like some specific Western European countries and also the United States. You know that when it comes to international law, unfortunately, when you are not a member of these kind of treaties, so you are exempted. Israel is not a party to these kind of treaties, so does not have any obligation. Simply, they say that we don't have any international obligations because we are not a member. When the nuclear issue of Iran has been actually was under discussion in the IAEA, we have told them that. Is it a good idea actually for Iran to withdraw from NPT, not to have any kind of obligations, to be in a safe hand like Israeli regime that is not a member to these kind of treaties? We see that simply they are not a member, and those big powers are not exerting pressure on Israel to accede to these kind of treaties, and Israel is in a safe hand. Simply they say that we don't have obligations. But, by the way, when it comes, for example, to these important international organizations in The Hague and Vienna dealing with chemical weapons and also nuclear weapons, the non-aligned movement that is composed of more than 120 countries in the international community, they have always requested to have a look at the issues in Israel and also to put pressure on Israel to accede to these kind of treaties. But Israel is supported by its allies. That's very simple, unfortunately, and that's a very, very bitter reality. This is a reality, but I call it bitter reality, actually, that when you are supported by the big powers and you are not a member to this kind of treaties, so you are exempted.
You're also Iran's deputy human rights chief. I want to ask you this question. Are you personally satisfied with Iran's human rights record?
When I was as the ambassador to The Hague, during my negotiations with the members of the parliaments and also with the politicians and the members of the foreign service in The Hague, when we were discussing the issue of human rights, I have always told them that we don't claim that we have the best mechanism for the human rights. And no other country also can claim that has the best system for human rights, because human rights is a progressing and continuing process. So, for example, when we made revolution in 1979, when you compare Islamic Republic of Iran before the revolution, or compare the current situation to preserve the rights of the citizens and also human rights, now with, for example, the status that we had in 1979, so we have made huge progress. So that's a continuing process. I believe that when it comes to the issue of human rights, I'm really satisfied. Why? Because when I compare Iran with our countries in the region, that they are not under criticism by those countries that they claim that they have the best system to protect human rights. Iran is the big democracy, is the important democracy in the region. So we have elections annually after the revolution. What was the cause for our revolution? So first was to establish the Islamic principles, but when we analyze our revolution from the point of view of human rights also, our revolution is a human rights revolution also, because we could get rid of the dictatorship in Iran. So when the people are freed and released from the dictatorship, so they have the right to make a decision for the political structures, so that's very important from the point of view of human rights. Human rights is not only the political and civil rights, like the elections or democratic rights. Human rights also includes cultural, economic rights also. Economic, cultural rights also are very important when it comes to the human rights. What has been done in the Islamic Republic of Iran in this field is a very important issue, because we have made huge progress when it comes, for example, to the right of the people, right to food, right to adequate housing, right to health. These are as the rights of the people, as the categories of the human rights of the people. So we made progress, and the situation is not comparable before the revolution. And this is one issue. The other is, for example, Iran does not have such kind of policies to intervene in the domestic affairs of other countries. So the United States and the Western European countries, they claim that, for example, they want to preserve the rights of the other people in other countries. And because of this, they have intervened and they have occupied some countries, not only in our region, such as Iraq and also Afghanistan, but in Libya, under the pretext to establish peace and democracy and to preserve the rights of the people. Iran does not have this kind of policy, actually, to intervene. We have seen that under that pretext, the rights of the people have not been guaranteed. The people have been killed, unfortunately, due to the military intervention of those countries claiming to protect the rights of the people.